Good morning, everybody. You know, it's one of those mornings for me where there's much trepidation and fear coming up here. Just this. But praise the Lord. You know, it's an amazing thing what the Lord can do through situations. You know, it was interesting. I was talking to Sue this past week, Sunday or Monday or one of those days, and she was telling me about how she was really having a bad morning one morning. And now she goes to the park and she, you know, she ministers to some ladies there that, you know, bring their kids to the park and everything like that. And she just, I mean, she was really having a hard time that morning. And she was really, you know, seeing her faults as a mother. She was seeing where how much she fell short. And, you know, she came to the park anyways. I mean, I don't think she really felt like it. She's probably listening, so she can correct me if I'm wrong. But, I mean, if she was kind of in a distraught place. Like, oh, Lord, I'm a failure. Lord, I'm a failure. But, you know, what was interesting, in the midst of that, here comes a lady. And she has talked with her before. And this lady had came to her and she goes, man, I just got a migraine. You know, and Sue asked her, and I'm going to mess up the story. I know I am. Because I wasn't there. And I heard it once. So I'm sure I'm going to mess it up. But she said, you know, I got a migraine. And she goes, well, did you take anything for it? Yeah, it just didn't help. You know, and she goes, well, did you pray about that? She says, no, but I would really like for us to do that. You know, and Sue's thinking, well, I was talking about you praying for yourself, not me praying with you. You know, but what happened was that she did pray. She prayed for her sake that the Lord be manifest unto her. And that, I'm sure that wasn't her exact words. But that lady, her migraine went away. It went away. And that's a praise the Lord. That's a praise the Lord. It actually reminds me of Philippians. Because where Philippians, you know, Paul's talking about not having his own righteousness. And he goes down the list of how he was a Pharisee and he lived the law blameless and all these things. But he counted all those things but dung. Not having his own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God. And the point that Sue had brought home, I mean, what I think she had gathered from that, was the whole point that it wasn't about her mistakes or her failings. I mean, correction and those things are much needed. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not neglecting that. However, the grace of God still met her and met that lady she was ministering unto. Because it wasn't about her mess ups, it wasn't about her screw ups that she can go minister the grace of God. It wasn't about that. It wasn't about that. And the Lord was good. The commandment is to walk as He has walked. In the midst of her most down time, what did she go do? What did Jesus do? Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cast out devils, and here Sue is at her worst time. Well, not worst, but one of her bad times. And yet she turned around after that, receiving the correction, turned around after that, not feeling good about herself at all, but walked as He walked. And prayed for that. What do you think? Paul tells Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not of himself, but the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And it's pretty important. And I tell you, it's an amazing thing. I mean, the Lord is really good because I tell you, I'm sitting there at work battling all kinds of things. I mean, it doesn't seem like I can do anything right. I mean, not a thing. I'm talking nothing. I'm not able to please my boss. I'm not able to please these customers. And then I have my own issues and my own heart in the midst of these things that is contrary to the Word of God. So let me tell you, what a good soldier I am not in the midst of these things. But it was an amazing thing. I mean, yesterday I was called to manage and I needed to manage. And I tell you, it was just one of those, it was a slam-packed busy day. But it was the most amazing thing of how these guys came together and they went and we got through those customers in an hour. All of them. Boom, 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 boom. And Tim, my boss at the time, which is like, you know, I don't think I've ever heard him say a good thing. And I tell you, he goes, man, you're doing a great job. I'm thinking, well, praise God. Well, praise God, because in the midst, all I was doing was just hanging in there and seeing what was next, seeing what was next, seeing what was next, trying to keep things together as much as possible. And those guys really stepped up. I said, you know what? Those guys are doing a great job. And what it really boils down to was nothing of my own doing. Not a thing of my own doing. It was all the Lord's grace and His hand in the midst of those things. The Lord's good. And we really need to come to the grips about it's His grace. I mean, it's so easy when we judge ourselves according to the flesh on how we've been or how we've been doing. And these things, it's so easy to put that grading curve upon ourselves. And we can miss the whole point of it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about His covering. It's about His deliverance. I mean, you look at the children of Israel. They had memorials set about what the Lord has accomplished. You know, I mean, you see, He took down the most powerful nation in the world for the sake of Israel. And that was for them to know it was not by their own power or by their own strength or by their own good works that they were able to accomplish that. No, it was by the power and deliverance of their mighty God. By their mighty God. So it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Once again, that song, Amazing Love. How can it be? You're my King, you died for me. Here I am. And what I see, and I mean, look, praise God. I mean, one of the things that was encouraging, probably the most encouraging thing this whole week was when Brad came up here Thursday night and said that the grace of the Lord was upon me. About brought me to tears. Because when I look inside myself, I see, oh wretched man that I am. Oh wretched man that I am. And I know if that's what he sees is because it's what the Lord had showed him. And there's people and bosses at my job that see me as needing to really be a part of their team, that I have something to offer. And I know that's because it's the grace of God, not by my own works, not by my own power, not by my own strength. It's because of the grace of my God. And it truly is a beautiful thing. that's all I have.
Since we are together, Phil and I, this morning, and he told a story on Sue, I can tell one on Ricky. We were chatting the other day, and, you know, as I think about the last 20 years or so, and I think about the things that I was brought through, and I think about where I was and how I didn't have any eyes to see, but how dependent I was, how trusting in my job, my 401k, and you know, the nice health care plan they had, and at every turn, the Lord would not honor any of that trust in something other than Him. And all that stuff that I thought made me worthy, a worthy husband, worthy in the world's eyes, and honorable in the kingdom's eyes, was all worthless. And that was Paul's testimony in Philippians 3. Everything that he thought made him accepted of men and honorable before the Lord was all the precepts of men, not anything God cared anything about. My testimony is a testimony of having been repeatedly thrown in the deep end to see if I can sink or swim. What's going to happen here? What's going to happen here? And after a while of being in discipleship and being instructed in the ways of the Lord, sooner or later you get, all right, let's see what you do. See what you got. And a couple of times where it's really stunk to be me, and it's time for recycle training, I guess. But the upshot of all that is, every Sunday morning, every Thursday evening, every time that I come up here, it is with no sense of rightness, right standing, worthiness. This is the deep end here. This is sinking or swimming, and it is every time. If you had ever told me I'd stand up in front of people and talk about anything, I would have told you you were lying. I'd laugh to your face. None of this is me. None of this is Philip. None of this is, well, probably, I don't know. Jeff. Brad, I don't know. Brad, he seems to be smoother at it than I am, but I don't think he has, I don't think he feels like he has a handle on it either. Well, I'm gonna go. I want to talk about two things. One is the story about Sue. The story about Rick was the tossing in the deep end. In case nobody was clear on that, that's really all it was about. It was the concept of being thrown in the deep end. The Sue thing was, it regardless of the way she felt, she was nonetheless in the position where she had an opportunity to do, not just hear the word of the Lord, but to do the word of the Lord. And in spite of the fact that she didn't really feel like being there, the Lord showed her he was. And he met that woman because he's good. Not because anything either one of them offered that was special. I'm sitting here in John 8. And after he tells the woman who's been caught in adultery to go sin no more, where have your accusers gone? What's happened here? He goes through a long dialogue with the Pharisees who are charging him that he's a liar. And he's full of himself. And, his comeback, amongst other things, are, "You're from beneath, I am from above. You're of this world, I am not of this world." "I said therefore to you that you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." Moving on, he says, the stuff I'm moving through is where he's saying, "Look, I'm just doing what the Father sent me to do. Not about me. Y'all want to make it about me, but it's not about me. It's all about the Father. And I'm just doing his business." Verse 30, "As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples." If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. Because not good enough to believe that he is. What you got to do is continue in his word. That means continue believing, continue receiving, continue to let it regenerate and wash and make you fit to do the things of the Lord. And this is a great dialogue, and I love to read it with all the inflection that I know was in there, but perhaps another time. What you saw going on in that passage was the true meekness of Jesus. It's not about me. Not about me. It's not about me. It's what the Father sent me to do. That's what I'm here for. I say only what he said, gave me to say, and I do only that which he gave me to do. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 3. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. the concision, or Jews who called themselves believers but perverted the truth by adding the law. It isn't faith in Jesus and anything. It's faith in Jesus. Paul continues, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." That's what Steve's definition of meekness is. We have no confidence in the flesh. Paul, a Pharisee, Pharisees understood the abomination of the would-be Jewish believers who were running around constraining them, new believers in the faith, that they had to keep the law as well. It destroyed Galatia, the Galatian church. The measuring of one's worthiness to receive the things of the Lord by on the basis of how well you keep the law before other people's eyes has absolutely no bearing on your standing with the Lord at all. It's all about becoming men pleasers, being seen doing something that's more valuable and more worthy than your brethren. So they elevate you and lift you up and puff you up. And Paul goes on here to explain what confidence in the flesh is. But his testimony, we are the circumcision. We've been grafted in. And the circumcision was only an outward sign of what God had done in your heart. It never was a thing, a legal restriction that brought you worthiness before God. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Doesn't matter what you think you got, I had more. And it's worthless. Absolutely worthless. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That's a pretty bold statement. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And, you know, I suppose he did actually lose a lot of what he had. But even if he hadn't, he counted them as loss. They were worthless. didn't mean anything. The only thing that meant anything to him was knowing Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that's going to make any difference to anybody on the last day. It ain't going to make any difference who you are before men, how much honorary degrees you got, how many, how elevated within your social group or club you may have been, or your none of that's going to make any difference. And the testimony of Scripture over and over again is God's not a respecter of persons anyhow. Pretty cut and dried with him. Did you believe? Did you receive? That's all I want to know. The only thing that's going to matter is, did you believe? And Paul could walk with evidence of humility. Verse 9, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. To Paul, that was the thing. That was the phrase. If I had to attach a phrase that summed up Paul, is that I may know him. That was the best thing that could happen. All the rest of that stuff, all the education, all the accolades, all the elevation of office and all that, none of that stuff meant anything. None of it. And that he may know him has surpassed all of it. But because of his testimony, you can know him too. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. His attitude was, there's always something else I could be doing. There's always something else I can be, some other people I can go to, something else I can do for the Lord. There's something else. My service is incomplete until I've pressed on to the mark. And a testimony at the end was, I have run my course. I've done the good work. I've run the course, and the end is near. Fought the good fight, and now it's over. That's when he had a sense of completion. Then and only then. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is that mark for you? Because the prize is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the only thing I care about being called is his. It would be nice to have somebody say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But this is something to be excited about. This was the Pharisee of Pharisees, who had everything anybody ever could want. And it's like he spent time in that exchange between Jesus and the Pharisees in John chapter 8 and saw how absolutely untenable the position was. And he was really just, it was just a little back and forth there until he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." "Oh, we be not in bondage to any man. We are Abraham's seed." Then the argument really started. That pride and the self-worth that was within the religious structure that day is all over the place today. And in many of our churches and institutions. If that Jesus that had that argument in John chapter 8 was walking around as he walked today, he would be run out of these churches because he doesn't meet their precepts any better than he met the Pharisees and the Sadducees, traditions of men. So we get to see and read all this, to understand humility, to understand meekness, so that we don't cast him out when he comes to us. Whether he's in his word or in the testimony of the authorities over us or the corrections that come down to us, that we don't reject his word and cast him out in the same way. I have to tell you, I had to unlearn so much, and I wasn't really well-churched. I had to unlearn what were precepts of men and traditions that just had no benefit whatsoever for the kingdom of God. I had to do some things that just really did not make sense to the natural mind at all. And only in a position that I worked myself into of utter desperation, I listened to the counsel and just trusted that they knew what they were talking about, because I had absolutely no confidence in any of it. And the Lord revealed himself, and that the counsel was the counsel I needed. But it just did not make sense at all. And you have to understand that sometimes the counsel of the Lord is going to look like that. And that's why when you agree with it and carry it out, it's faith. It's a step of faith. And the Lord honors it. Well, I've been all over the place. Didn't expect to go there. But let us go forward from today and learn that humbling ourselves is a good thing, because if we are not learning how to do that, then we will be humbled, and that can really stink. In order to believe and receive a counsel that doesn't make any sense, you have to have completely rejected all that does. And that's a rejection of self-confidence and a humiliation process that nobody else may know about, but it takes place right in here. In order to receive the truth of the word, you have to turn loose of the false teachings that you've been brought up with. I would just go forth from here asking the Lord to clarify His truth and give us discernment and wisdom, and to purify our hearts and our motives, and to make us instruments and vessels where His truth may be carried to all of those around us, and His grace and His mercy and His goodness can be ministered through us to His praise and His glory.